Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and some of you may be interested in my Wednesday night television show where web video meets the issues. Tonight it's a full hour of web content related to the presidential campaign. That's tonight at 7:30 on CUNY TV, Channel 75, on the New York City cable systems. And what if instead of battling to get our teenagers out of bed and off to school in the morning, we just started the school day later? I've certainly watched my own teen as he's grown up. He's 15 now and a sophomore in high school. Gradually want to stay up later, gradually want to wake up later. And let him do it is the suggestion from writer Nancy Kalish. Maybe you saw her New York Times op-ed piece the other day that's been one of the most emailed articles all week. So let's talk about it. Nancy Kalish, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
And listeners, we want you to chime in on this. Do you have a teenager in the house? Are you the teenager in the house? Is starting the school day later an idea that makes sense to you? How about for younger kids? Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Nancy, why'd you bring this up?
Well, there are a lot of sleepy teenagers out there who are, according to the National Sleep Foundation, a recent poll, 28% of kids are actually in danger or actually do fall asleep during their first or second class during the day. It obviously is having a huge impact on their learning, and strangely enough, it's one of the easiest things to fix if people will just do it. So, yes, a lot of school districts have been extremely successful in moving back the school start times by an hour or so, and I really don't see why everyone isn't doing it.
So there's science behind this, you're saying. There's physiology behind it.
Yeah, there definitely is. Over 20 years of research on teen sleep habits is showing that teens actually have a sleep phase delay. And what that means is that as they go through puberty, hormones, especially the release of melatonin and other hormones, work to put off the time when they feel sleepy until about 11 p.m. So they really physically, even if they're exhausted, they have trouble falling asleep until 11 or sometimes quite a bit later. And then that melatonin doesn't stop pumping out until about 8 a.m., which means they stay sleepy. And when they try to get up at 6:30 or 6 o'clock for, you know, school starting at 7:30, their bodies are still saying, wait, I'm sleepy. And it leads to enormous amount of sleep deprivation.
Does the whole country do this? I mean, I grew up in New York City here in Queens, right? So at my high school, there were three shifts because it was so crowded. And when I started early, I was starting at 8 o'clock. When I started late, I was starting at 10:30 and going to 4:30. There was that article in the Times today, maybe you saw it, about these poor kids at Richmond Hill High School in Queens, which is so overcrowded that they're starting so early that lunch period, the first lunch period, is at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
To get all the lunch periods in and everybody get to eat lunch at some point. I don't know if the rest of the country is so overcrowded that they start so early. Is this just a trend for other reasons?
Well, it's a trend because it's not really a trend. I mean, we've been starting school really early for probably 100 years. So it's been, you know, going on for an incredibly long time, and it's very entrenched. Overcrowding does cause a lot of the problems. And so does, just bus scheduling and after-school sports. And there are a lot of, you know, so-called practical reasons why this can't, schools can't be made to be pushed a little later. But really the most important thing is our kids' education, and we have to focus on that and get past those so-called obstacles.
Let's take a phone call. Alicia in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alicia.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say that thus far I agree with what your guest is saying. I taught 7th and 8th grade for 7 years and saw how in the mornings my students were groggy. They were not awake and that started at 8:30 in the morning. By the next period, students were considerably different and considerably awake. And now I even have a 16-year-old whose school begins at 7:40 in the morning. Mm. And even when she does get a good night's rest, it is very hard for her to get up and go out when it's still dark outside.
Nancy?
Well, yeah, I mean, you have my full sympathy. I have a teen who starts pretty early, too. I mean, teachers unequivocally, they recognize this, and when they do follow-up studies on schools where they have moved the start times later, they find that the vast majority of the teachers see an incredible improvement in student alertness and behavior, and test scores go up, grades go up. So, I mean, there's lots and lots of benefits to this.
So why don't they do it?
Well, you know, the two biggest obstacles, the two biggest problems seem to be after-school sports. What's going to happen to our football team if they have to practice later?
Huh.
And how will we ever schedule our games? And then the other thing seems to be buses. How are we going to work out the buses? And, you know, it's funny because when schools have prepared, and the ones who have been successful, the districts have prepared for usually about a year before they shift anything, they found that these obstacles are fairly easily overcome. First of all, when you flip the elementary school start times with the high school start times and have little kids start earlier when they are naturally much more awake,
mm-hmm.
and ready to go, you don't have any extra cost with buses. And this has been proven in huge school districts in Minnesota and Kentucky and Texas. In fact, some school districts have actually saved money. So that's number one, but people are very afraid of that. And the other thing is, well, what's going to happen to the football team? Well, you know, I have to say that I think their priorities are mixed up, and I also have to say that there are other things you could think of.
But what are you saying? Would they have to eliminate the football team?
No. Well, how about this that nobody ever seems to think of? The kids on the football team are still a minority in the school. Have them practice in the morning. The pros do it, and they're fine. Have them practice. Have them, you know, carpool or take vans or take public transportation to school. Let a small minority of kids who really want to be there and practice, you know, let them do it early and not sacrifice the brain development and the learning potential of our other kids.
Cameron, a high school teacher in Croton. You're on WNYC. Hi, Cameron.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for having me on.
Yep.
What I wanted to say is that over the last few years, we've been seeing a lot of evidence from research done that shows that computer screens have a tendency to disrupt the circadian rhythms of adolescents. And so one of the things that we try to do with our students is to ask them not to go on their computers past 9 p.m. We don't have a whole lot of luck, but when we do, it seems that we can usually get them to be a little bit more awake when they are in school. So I just want to throw that out there.
So, Cameron, as a teacher of high school seniors, what do you think about the idea of just moving the school day a little bit later rather than trying to, you know, force the teenagers to shut down the computers at 9 o'clock, which is going to be a constant tug of war between parents and teens for the rest of time?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt that the day should be starting later. It would be to everyone's advantage, not only to the students, but also to the teachers who are trying to cram so much information into their minds as the year progresses. So it should absolutely start later. But again, you know, we're a country that loves to say how much, how important the kids are, yet we seem to be unwilling
right.
to adjust to anything.
Right. So you've at least got that coping strategy with the computers. Can I ask, since you teach high school, when does your school start?
We start pretty early. Our classes start at 8:15, and we get kids from all over Westchester and Putnam County. So we have some kids who get on their buses at about 7 in the morning.
Mm. And why do they make that decision as a matter of policy at your school? Any idea?
At our school, it's so that we can accommodate these students who are coming from such you know, different places across the area. However, a lot of our feeder districts also start at around that same time. And again, it's so that they can accommodate all the age ranges of the children that we serve, starting at, you know, kindergarten, going all the way up through their senior year.
I see. So it's staggering the day. Do the young kids come in later than the older kids?
They do. In this area, they usually start somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half later.
Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And, you know, Nancy, someone told me that a lot of charter schools, which are not beholden to the districts, have begun to push back the start of the school day to 9 o'clock. Have you heard that?
That's right. That's going on across the country. And, of course, they also extend the school day a little bit so that they're able to build back in other things that are being cut, like recess and homework help time and art and music. I mean, yes, they're really taking a progressive stance. But, you know, it's interesting when you ask that question of that wonderful teacher who just called in.
Yes.
You know, it's just, it's really, it's to, on the surface, it's to accommodate everybody. But when you dig a little deeper, it's because it's just been done that way forever, and nobody really thinks about questioning it too much. And one of the reasons is we find that parents, I have to say, as well as some teachers and superintendents, they're uneducated about sleep needs and what kids actually need. It's not that kids are lazy or unwilling to get up early and work hard. It's that they need, adolescents actually need more sleep between 9 and 10 hours a night than younger kids do. They have that melatonin pumping out in their bodies that's making them sleepy. And it's like we recognize good nutrition is important. You wouldn't send your kid off to school, or most of us wouldn't, without a good breakfast. Yet we're really willing to let them go off to school without enough sleep. And it has a major effect. It can mimic and attention deficit disorder. It causes all kinds of behavioral problems. I mean, this is big stuff. It really has an effect.
Here's how far Rick in Manhattan would like to take this. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. Turn off your radio and tell us what you're thinking.
No radio. I'm just about to get into a meeting. I'll throw this out real quick. I say shift the whole day plus 6 hours. Start around 2 o'clock. Why give up a beautiful day to children sitting in school? I think the melatonin issue is a shiftable item. I travel a lot. I travel around the world. And kids may be less adaptable than adults, but why give up a beautiful day?
Time off in the morning, go to school 2 to 8.
That's right.
Well, you don't want that, Nancy, right?
Well, you know, I mean, any talking about this is a good step in the right direction. I have to say that's probably not going to be popular among working parents and for various ideas, for various reasons. I mean, ideally, you would start around 10 o'clock, and even that, even I believe, is impractical in most cases. But
Thomas in Philadelphia, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, thanks for having me on. With all due respect to your guest, I just think the whole concept is ridiculous. And I understand that there are chemical issues, the melatonin, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what that's all about. But, you know, I mean, I think it is important. I live in Philadelphia. If buses, yes, that is a problem because you have traffic. You have traffic jams. You have to get those kids out of school and through the traffic so that it doesn't mess with the commuters. And they take the subways, and it jams up the subways. And so you have to get them out of the way. And so getting them in school early and out of school earlier so that they don't.
And you're saying you also got to teach them work habits, get up in the morning.
Absolutely.
Which they'll have to do as grown-ups.
The idea to go in at 2 o'clock was really pushing it. But even 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, yeah. What happens when they get out of school and they have classes in college that start early or even work life?
So, Thomas, thank you. I'm going to leave it there because we're almost out of time. But, Nancy, is there a life training element to this for high school students?
Oh, my gosh, no. I mean, with all due respect to your caller, once these students grow up and become young adults in their 20s, the melatonin and the sleep phase shift starts to revert, and it goes back to, you know, adults, the melatonin stops pumping out a lot earlier, like 3 or 4 a.m., and that's why they're able to get up, and that's why adult travelers are able to shift so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that, boy, you know, traffic and rush hour, our kids' learning potential, which is more important? I'm really puzzled by
and
that.
It's rush hour whether you go to school at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock anyway.
Yeah.
So that's where we have to leave it with Nancy Kalish, co-author of one of the most emailed articles from the New York Times this week, that op-ed piece suggesting that schools start later, and judging from our phones, it's going to be one of the most emailed segments that we've probably done, too. So thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.